Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 24.
Tad ashmasaram hridayam batedam yad vriyamanair harinam adheyai navik priyeta ta yadavikaro nitre jalam gatra raheshu harshaha. Ashmasaram is steel framed. Hridayam, heart. Bata idam, certainly that. Yat, which. Griyamanai, in spite of chanting. Harinama, the holy name of the Lord. Dhyayai, by concentration of the mind. Na, does not. Vikriyeta, change. Ata, thus. Yada, when. Vikaraha, reaction. Netre, in the eyes. Jalam, tears. Gatra roheshu, at the pores. Harshaha, eruptions of ecstasy. Translation, certainly that heart is steel-framed which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, one does not change when ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes, and hairs stand on end. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We should note, with profit, that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God consciousness by the process of hearing and chanting has been stressed, and a gross conception of the personality of Godhead in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. By such a gross conception of God, through the material manifestations of his energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and the senses, and gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as the Supersoul in every heart and everywhere, in every atom of the material universe. The system of Pancha Upasana, recommending the five mental attitudes for the common man, is also enacted for this purpose, namely, gradual development, worship of the superior that may be in the form of fire, electricity, the sun, the mass of living beings, Lord Shiva, and at last, the impersonal supersoul, the partial representation of Lord Vishnu. They are all nicely described in the second chapter. But in the third chapter, further development is prescribed after one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship or pure devotional service. And the mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. So, as Prabhupada is saying note with prophet. Listen to how many times he uses the phrase change of heart in the purport. 5 times. That means pay attention. Paragraph. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as the subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So, with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, parentheses, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, and legs, as already explained herein before, close parentheses, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that the discharge, by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel framed, for it is not melted. Even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord, we must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties, and if they are properly performed, they will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of Godhead. Paragraph. If the reaction does not take place, even after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses only. That is the opinion of the Sandarbha. In the beginning of chanting of the holy name, if the devotee has not been very careful about evading, usually he says evading the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on end. Paragraph. The bhava stage is manifested by 8 transcendental symptoms, namely inertness, perspiration, standing of the hairs on end, failing of the voice, trembling, paleness of the body, tears in the eyes, and finally, trance. The nectar of devotion. A summary study of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains those symptoms and vividly describes other transcendental symptoms, both in steady and accelerating manifestations. Paragraph. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has very critically discussed all these bhava displays in connection with some unscrupulous neophytes imitating the above symptoms for cheap appreciation. Not only Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but also Srila Rupa Goswami treated them very critically. Sometimes all the above 8 symptoms of ecstasy are imitated by the mundane devotees, prakriti sahajiyas, but the pseudo symptoms are at once detected when one sees the pseudo devotee addicted to so many forbidden things. Even though decorated with the signs of a devotee, a person addicted to smoking, drinking, and illegitimate sex with women cannot have all the above-mentioned ecstatic symptoms. But it is seen that sometimes these symptoms are willfully imitated, and for these reasons, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti accuses the imitators of being stone-hearted men. They are sometimes even affected by the reflection of such transcendental symptoms. Yet, if they still do not give up the forbidden habits, then they are hopeless cases for transcendental realization. Two more paragraphs. When Lord Chaitanya met Srila Ramananda Roy of Kavur on the bank of the Godavari, the Lord developed all these symptoms, but because of the presence of some non-devotee brahmanas who were attendants of the Roy, the Lord suppressed these symptoms. So, sometimes they are not visible, even in the body of a first-class devotee, for certain circumstantial reasons. Therefore, real, steady bhava is definitely displayed in the matter of, there's a list of six, cessation of material desires, and the Sanskrit is given, shanti. Not like just call it a truce and we'll have peace and call it shanti, but cessation of material desires. Two, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Sanskrit is avyarta kalatvam. Avyarta kalatvam. Three, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly. Namagane sadaruchi. Nama gane sadaruchi. Four, attraction for living in the land of the Lord. Pritis tad vasatis tale. I'm going to read it, just each Sanskrit term. They're nice terms to learn. Pritis tad vishati stale. Five, complete detachment from material happiness, virakti. And six, pridelessness, mana shunyata. Mana shunyata, amanina manina. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the bhava stage, as distinguished from the stone-hearted imitator or mundane devotee. Last paragraph. The whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in that list of six above, the cessation of all material desires, etc. The neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious. So much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations without following the acharyas. As such, even if they make a show of constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, they cannot relish the transcendental taste of the holy name. Therefore, the show of tears in the eyes, trembling, perspiration, or unconsciousness, etc., is condemned. They can, however, get in touch with a pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. Final sentence. A complete progressive march on the return path home back to Godhead will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. End of purport. I selected this verse because I like it, and because it expresses something that I wanted to share this weekend, the change of heart message. There's the worldly sense of the change of heart. Like somebody doesn't like somebody and then they have a change of heart and they like somebody. Or they don't want to, the kid doesn't want to go to school and then he decides, okay, I want to go to school. He has a change of heart. I was thinking to turn left and then I had a change of heart and I turned right. That's a change of heart of sorts. But that's within the purview of material existence, and we know what happens. It goes back. Chanchala himana Krishna. Those positions that are just a mental adjustment, they're transient. They're not substantial. They will change. And one of the things that I have observed in the course of time is that it's one thing to accept Krishna consciousness on the platform of the mind. It's another thing to accept Krishna consciousness on the platform of the heart. And the platform of the heart is much deeper. And it's more rare. Because on the platform of the mind, you walk down the path of life and something happens. Supposing you're a very tolerant person and patient person, but everyone's got their threshold. And then the mind flips. And something happens. And it's not, using a conventional term, casting aspersions. It's not criticism of that, because that's also wonderful. Accept Krishna consciousness, even on that platform. But it's not enduring, nor does it give one the phrase that Prabhupada uses here is, transcendental taste, the permanent transcendental taste, indelibly fixed, so that there's no change. I mean, just a quick passing thought is not the main theme of at all what I was intending to express here this morning, but we sometimes find that very nice devotees. It happens. All of a sudden, they hit a crash landing or something. It happens. Doesn't mean, oh, that's a bad person, you know, they were phony. It's just that it doesn't mean any of those things. They're wonderful personalities, and something, a calamity may enter into their life. They're wonderful persons. But this change of heart message is something that's very special. Indelibly, when whatever the circumstance may be, when it's not a... The disposition of the heart endures to go on serving Krishna in a loving capacity. You'll go back to the 19th chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam, because it precedes this, where the first presentation made by Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadeva Goswami after he meets him, actually even before he meets him, the sages have assembled, chapter 19. It's proclaimed around the kingdom, which means the world, that Maharaj Parikshit has been cursed to die. He's given up his kingdom. He's sitting on the bank of the sacred river, and the sages come, and he presents a question to the sages. Essentially, what should I do now? But explicitly is, what is a person, what is the duty of a person at the time of death? And the second question is, what is that subject matter that one should hear, chant, and always remember? And very succinctly, without expanding the message, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the assembled sages they couldn't agree. This one had this opinion, that one had that opinion, another one had another opinion. You know how that one goes. No conclusion. And then Shukadeva Goswami comes, and they all stand to greet him. Shukadeva Goswami is given the special seat of honor, and he's just, you know, 16-year-old boy. But they recognize him immediately, as does Maharaj Parikshit, as most exalted amongst them. He asks the same question, two questions. What is the duty of one who's about to die? And Prabhupada explains, that's everybody. How many go back, you know, how many years, how many months, how many days, how many hours, how many moments? One of the things that we find in the Bhagavatam, like Vidura says to Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra, don't you get the message? Hello, Dhritarashtra, you're about to kick the bucket. You're about to leave. Your teeth are falling out. Your liver is not working. This thing, that thing. Dhritarashtra, wake up. It's kaput time. It's you're out of here. So do something. You're so attached to this not to happen notion that you're the king. And with that idea, you lost your entire 100 sons, and the very persons who destroyed them, they're now maintaining you, sitting in that chair, thinking, I'm the king. You're a fool. This is his younger brother. You're a fool. Get out. Prepare yourself. So, one of the, of course, we all get reminders. Somebody we know who's dear to us, some relative dies, something happens like this thing with my leg, you know, it's a knock on the door. Death is coming. So, what's the message? Of course, as Prabhupada describes, when a child is born and he's one day old, that means he's one day deceased. Because the clock is tick-tock, tick-tock. Time is advancing and death is approaching. That's different for a devotee. The devotee means eternal life is approaching because of the way that they're leading their life. But how should we use our time? What is the duty of someone who knows that they're going to die? And, you know, hello, we're all going to die. What is the duty? How do you use this valuable human form of life? It's another way of saying, what's the purpose of life? And how do you execute it? Here we are for a short span of time, in between birth and death, and the in-between is called life. What are we supposed to do with this thing? You know, that's an important question. Many people don't ask. Or because they're ill-guided and attached, like Dhritarashtra, they think something else. Become the king, or eat, drink, and be merry, or something. Grab whatever you can while you're around, because this is it. And there's no consequence. It's so many speculative notions. That's what Prabhupada is writing in the purport. Because of enviousness, they create so many isms. The world is filled with it. And how does a nice, sincere person going along the path of life deal with the fact that the world is filled with different isms? The recommendation is taking shelter of one who knows what reality is with a capital R. What's the duty of a man who's about to die, or one who's about to die, and what is that subject matter that one should hear, chant, and always remember? So just quickly, as Prabhupada has done in this purport, very quickly, summarized these first three chapters of the second canto. It's Shukadev Goswami's answer, but it's in parts. It's gradual. Gradual. Gradual, and then complete. The first step in God realization, that's the chapter one, is these two things, hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting what? Hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. But supposing one doesn't know who is the Supreme Lord. So the second part of that first step is forming a personal conception of God, but with things that the senses can perceive, like hills and rivers and trees and the sun and the moon and the clouds in the sky and the sky and, you know, pantheism. See God from the manifestations of nature. Form a really elementary conception of God from a position where one doesn't have one. From my little visits to China, it's not just theoretical, it's factual. People don't have a conception. It's not part of their culture. So form a conception. God isn't within nature. And Prabhupada explains, by that process of hearing and chanting and thinking of a conception of God, gradual purification, where through these stages of meditation, or bringing the mind through the process of some rituals, prescribed rituals, pancha upasana rituals, where different mental attitudes progressively through fire, the sun, mass of living beings, Lord Shiva, and at last Lord Vishnu, a portion of a plenary portion, the Lord of the heart. That leads to meditation upon the Lord of the heart. And in that conception of the Lord in the heart, he's directing everything that's part of this pantheism conception. Specifically, Shukadeva Goswami says that prior conception is to be released. The pantheistic Virat Rupa conception is to be released and instead taking shelter of the Paramatma conception. Because the Paramatma is the controller. It's a nice step. Recognize that we're controlled. And there's a controller. And it's not us. We're not the controller. You remember the whole Gita Nagari retreat we had where the theme was say yes to Krishna. Remember that one? Everyone got a say yes to Krishna button. There were all this nice teachings and workshops of what are the things that we remember this? What are some of the things that you don't like about life? Boy, that chart filled up fast. 18 pages of things we don't like. Real fast. And then how do we behave towards those things that we don't like? So there was some role play. And then the role play of what would it be like if you accepted those things that you like, or you don't like. You just accept them. You know, somebody and somebody saying, you know, there's something that I don't like, but I accept it. And then how is your language and how is your behavior and how do you feel? Just accept. Because it's something that's coming from the Supreme Lord. In this question-answer thing that I do recently, somebody was asking the question, I've heard this phrase before, one should not blame the instrument of one's own karma. You've heard that one? Probably many times. So, but when somebody does something really mean, am I just supposed to say, I like it when it's mean? I remember struggling with that one as a teenager. The person asking was a teenager. How do I deal with that? And you differentiate the behavior from the person. The behavior may be bad, but don't hate the person. What's some biblical saying, something like, hate the sin but not the sinner. Distinguish between the soul and the covering of the soul. And the covering of the soul is just being moved by the forces of nature. The modes of nature, impelling forces of your karma, their karma, and they're being an instrument of your karma, and they're acting something that's hurtful. So don't buy into the program that's called karma. And somebody does a karmic thing to me, so I do a karmic thing back to them, and I implicate myself in karma. I'm bound to that action, reaction, unending cycle, unless you choose to not participate in it. So, preliminary in Bhagavad Gita is you tolerate it. But your consciousness has to go somewhere. It's just not grit your teeth and say, I'm going to tolerate it. Where does your consciousness go instead? Goes to that which is sat instead of asat. Goes to the soul. Goes to your soul and their soul and the Supreme Soul. So this say yes to Krishna is a preliminary step of super soul realization. He's the controller. And we're the controlled. And someone is an instrument and Krishna is the controller. And I'm saying yes to Krishna. I don't have to say yes to that's a nice behavior and smile when I know it's not a nice behavior. But I can, beyond tolerance, I can say yes to Krishna. Beyond the mode of goodness comes connecting with transcendence. Remember, this is Shukadeva Goswami's reply, what should a person do who's about to die? And that's all of us. Today, tomorrow, the next day, we're about to die. It's uncertain when, but it's certain we'll die. So what are we supposed to do? Bring your attention to Vishnu. In stages, progressive stages. And it lays out the progressive stages like Prabhupada is saying here in this purport. So then when you're from that, the mind goes to Vishnu by process of meditation, dhyan yoga, then what? As the, in the language that he's using here in the purport, this is the impersonal super soul, meaning the features of Bhagavan are not yet clear and distinct. The personality of Godhead, and therefore the Bhagavan feature, is the beginning of that process of devotional service. Because the yogi that's in meditation, he's not engaging in devotional service unless he's so guided by a devotee. Because one can be a devotee yogi, like Kardama Muni or Bhishma Dev. You know, they're yogis. They have capacity to fix their mind in trance. But they understand what the purpose of that is. The mind is, as Prabhupada is explaining here, it's the leader. It's the impetus for all activities of the limbs. Then naming them, this one, that one. So the regulative, the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, is to direct the limbs, you know, the hands and the eyes and the feet and the legs and so forth, to activities of devotional practice. But what's the purpose of that? It's to bring the mind, make it easier for the mind. Just like our Christmas weekend seminar, always remember Krishna. Bring the mind always to Krishna. That's the purpose. And in the bringing the mind to Krishna capacity, something's supposed to happen. Besides, the mind goes to Krishna. There's a change of heart. He's the master. Not just I'm doing this because I get something. He's the master. That's the change of heart, is that the seed is this position of service. I'm serving him. And my happiness is to serve him. My happiness isn't this configuration as opposed to that configuration of duality. That's happiness and that's unhappiness. It's happiness or happiness. Varieties of happiness. Because there's varieties of some service. That's the higher stage of the say yes to Krishna. This variety, that variety. Not just he's the controller. And I'm controlled. And I'm saying yes to his position as the controller. It's not neutrality, it's service. Those who are followers of Lord Chaitanya, that's all of us, we're brought right to that position from day one. The other steps, they're there so that we know what those steps are when we go into the spiritual marketplace and we hear this idea, that idea, and millions of different ideas. There's the totally speculative ones, and there's ones that have some foundation within Scripture, but those foundation within Scripture ideas are meant for this progressive message, and the progressive message is the change of heart. Pure devotional service, change of heart. That's the title of the chapter. Pure devotional service, change of heart. What's pure devotional service? Anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karma dhyanavratam, where there's no effort to acquire speculative knowledge about God or life or anything. The verse that Lord Chaitanya accepted from Ramananda Roy as the goal of life, similar to the question here by Maharaj Parikshit, it's Jnane Prayasam Udapasya Namanta Eva. Jnane Prayasam, Prayasa means endeavor. Jnane Prayasam, endeavoring for speculative knowledge. Strong word, Udapasya, completely reject it. Trash it. Take it and dump it. Endeavor for speculative knowledge about reality. What's it all about? The inquisitive spirit is good. Connecting that inquisitive spirit to the vehicle of the mind, not good. It'll take you all over the creation, birth after birth, and some dark places, so many different places. Time? You indicating? Okay. So many speculative places. Speculation will take you to all over the place. Jnane Prayasam Udapasya Namanta. We know what Namanta means. Obeisances. Eva, certainly. Jivanti Sanmukaritam Bhavadiyavartan. One pays one's obeisances and makes one's life. Sanmukaritam, the messages describing the personality of Godhead and His wonderful activities. Bring your consciousness there. Not this other. So that's the change of heart. What's the change of heart? You let go of the conditioning that has so many labels and so many upadis. Very strong conditioning. And you let it go. In favor of, not just you tolerate it, you let it go. In favor of this change of heart position. The visual image for me as a young kid going to school and a chemistry major, you go to the lab and you learn something in the textbook of this plus this at this temperature and pressure, and you put in a catalyst and the whole thing changes. You got this beaker full of, looks nothing. You put a little something in at the right temperature and all of a sudden all these crystals and things. Wow. So like that, change of heart. You're going along, and whatever it is, you're struggling, all of a sudden. Or it can be gradual, however Krishna wants, but there's a change. And your whole perspective becomes changed. My life is just one thing, serving Krishna. And Krishna can bring it on, Krishna. whatever the situation is, it's yes. Like Kardamuni when he met Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu came all the way from his palace out into the forest to meet Kardamuni, and Kardamuni stood up to greet him. He's a Brahmin. He stood up to greet the emperor and said, "My dear king, whatever it is that you came here for some reason, whatever it is, the answer is yes. Now tell me what it is that you want." Because he was sent by Lord Vishnu. There's a purpose. And the answer is yes, whatever it is. Now let me think about it. Perhaps maybe. Yes. Of course, he had a little advantage. He knew even before Swayambhuva Manu came that he was going to come. And he knew what Swayambhuva Manu was going to say. And the Lord told him to say yes. But even if that doesn't happen, it's the spirit of the change of heart. And what is that? That change of heart is to accept the personal existence of God. And my existence is to serve His interest. It's the change of heart is love. It's the position of love as opposed to the position of always, forever calculating what's in it for me according to a material conception of me. It's spinning your wheels in the mud. You're not going to go anywhere. Press the accelerator. Try it however you like it. It's not going to work. The acceleration, Prabhupada uses this phrase I'm going to speak about later, acceleration of devotional service is through the medium of hearing and chanting properly done. And the conception, you can hear and chant with a conception of pantheism. You can hear and chant with a conception of Paramatma. But hear and chant with a conception of the personality of Godhead. And it moves the heart. And continue in that spiritual conception of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, and hear the descriptions of Him, and something happens. The heart changes. It's a whole other experience of life. And then, you know, how do I practice devotional service in the workplace? And all those other kinds of questions. You're carrying Krishna in your heart. You're serving Krishna in this situation, that situation, the other situation, for practical reasons or whatever reasons. And if they aren't connected to Krishna, you don't do it, because it's your life is for Krishna. And then, because of time, we have to keep our schedule. But the message points to bhava bhakti, where there are these transformations of the body, that if they don't take place, one's heart is steel framed. Several times I've heard Prabhupada lecture on this verse, and he points to ashma saram. Saram means essence, and ashma means iron or steel. I just happen to have seen somewhere, some picture book, where, or some website, where somebody, ancient India, where they had a tall column made of steel, and they've done some analysis to see how old is the steel, and it's whatever it is, ancient, some huge number of years ago in Vedic times. It's not that, you know, they were undeveloped and didn't know about stuff like steel. Here it is in the verse, and Prabhupada would refer to. They certainly knew what steel was. And the heart is like steel if it doesn't have this change of heart when hearing the holy name and these transformations. But our goal is not peak experiences and chanting of the holy name or something like that. Our goal is to be always in the mood of serving, and however Krishna wants to interact with us, that's fine. But these other items, I'll just repeat them again because they are important. Sthayi bhava, in the language of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, steady ecstasy. There are the steadiness of ecstasy, whether there's transformations or of the limbs or not, your hairs stand on their end or not. But the symptoms are cessation of material desires, something like what Premananda was asking yesterday when the Rupa Goswami's verse, when the holy name enters the ear, the mind becomes still. Cessation of material desire, because material desire agitates the mind. And the mind, even you're chanting, the mind is, because of material desire, is all over the place. But when that cultivation of offenseless chanting takes place, cessation of material desire. Shanti, the real kind. utilization of every moment in devotional service. Because time is so valuable. Who wants to waste that which can be used in Krishna's service? We're very frugal about money. We don't want to waste money. Let's be frugal about time. You know, from the materialistic saying, time is money. In New York, if you're not talking about how somebody can make money to a businessman, he hangs up the phone. Literally, just like, doesn't even say, I'm going to hang up the phone now. He just clicks the phone. Time is money. You're wasting my money, man. For a devotee, time is something that Krishna has given to be used in his service, or if we're careful. It's not multi-processing encouragement. It's the moment is very important. So let me be present in the moment and use each moment very carefully. I'm sure you've had this experience, as have I. When you are being attentive, when you are absorbed in the holy name, you chant your rounds more swiftly, more satisfyingly, and time just passes where you're not even, you know, the tick, 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 tick is not something that you're aware of. It's, or paying attention to. It's, you're paying attention to Krishna. And so much time passes. It's very wonderful. And then the next service and the next service, you move swiftly to the next service. Just a little anecdotal about deity worship. It's a little quickly, because it can be longer. But in the early stages of our Hare Krishna movement in America, Prabhupada had given the head pujari service to Mother Shobhavati, and her son was Dwarkadish. So they were a wonderful transcendental pair. So Mother Shilavati was sent to Dallas because they had newly installed the deities in Dallas, and he sent her there to train up the devotees how to do the deity worship. So Shilavati went there. She wasn't familiar with the deities, Radhakala Chanji. And then Prabhupada was going to come. So Prabhupada came, and she asked Prabhupada, can we have more time, because then I'm able to finish the worship of the deity. So Prabhupada said, no, I'll show you it can be done. So Prabhupada went on the altar, dressed the deity in less than the time that was allotted, not with needing more time. And then he explained, devotion is not, you do it very slowly necessarily. Maybe it's do it slowly if you're making sweet rice or something. But you do it efficiently. And because Krishna's standing there, why make Krishna just stand there and you'll fiddle around? You dress and decorate the deity with devotion. And you do it, and that's how Prabhupada led his life. He used time very effectively. He wasn't abrupt, but he was very concentrated in each thing that he did, because each moment is very important. Avyarta Kalatvam, that's two. Three, eagerness in glorifying the Lord constantly. Nama, Gane Sada, Ruchi, Sada, always. Nama Gane, always glorifying the Lord. Ruchi, with taste, with eagerness. Time, activity, detachment from cessation of material desire. Attraction for the living in the land of the Supreme Lord, the Holy Dham. Complete detachment from material happiness and pridelessness. So these are symptoms of the change of heart. So we don't go for the symptoms, we go for the change of heart. We put the horse before the cart, not the other way around. We don't want the symptoms, we want attachment for Krishna. And attachment for Krishna, as Prabhupada ends, comes from the scripture, the direction of the scripture, as applied by a qualified person. I'll read the last sentence again. A complete progressive march on the return path home back to Godhead will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. There's another reference, but I don't have time for it. It's a description by Kapila Dev to Devahuti, where the yogi who has practiced this meditation upon Supersoul makes the change of heart to become a devotee. And it describes, it uses a metaphor, a hook, similar to this, amsa, saram, as a hook, as a fish hook, is iron. They knew about fish hooks. They knew about iron. They knew about steel. But as the fish hook, it, like a fish hook, pulls in the whatever's on the other end of the hook, I guess a fish, the mind, which is in one stage used to attract Vishnu, it completely gives up material attraction. And the change is like the thing in the beaker that, you know, with the right temperature and the catalyst, and boom, out comes all this stuff. It was just in a clear pitcher of water, beaker of water, or liquid. There's stuff there. The love for Krishna is there in our heart. It's just not manifesting. The change of heart is, that's what moves us. So the practices and practices and practices and practices is to bring about the change of heart, where there's love. Not just a feeling, but a complete dedication to service to Krishna through the agency of devotees, pure devotees that have that disposition of heart. And by association with them, serving them, attachment to them, that change of heart is meant to take place. It may take place gradually. It may take place in sudden shifts of change. However it takes place, that's our objective. And I'm over time, so I'm supposed to... I'm going to end class and see if there's any discussion. Nityananda Prabhu, what did you announce before class began?
I announced that we would start the yesterday program at 10:30.
Okay, so what time is my cutoff time? 5 minutes ago. Any quick questions? Jai Jagannath, go ahead.
Maharaj, your beginning message was very great, or it was impacting me in a very sort of way. It is easier to accept Krishna consciousness on the platform of the mind, on the platform of the heart, is more challenging. So the immediately as you were speaking that, I was thinking about self-deceptions. That came to mind, that I may be thinking that my heart is changing because I've taken up a certain lifestyle and have a certain intensity in my practice and so on. So I feel that there is a transformation taking place, but it may be just another mental acceptance. Maybe there's a mixture, but it may just be something mental. So my concern is that along the line, if it's not really a transformation of the heart, where is the security to my emotional endeavor?
Well, before I address your question, one thing that you should know and we should know is even that earlier stage, the mental acceptance, Krishna is accepting that service. It's not a zero. It's eternal progress. So whatever our position is, keep going in the direction of devotional service. There's no loss. Svapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayam. And so what is our position? Our position is we're on a trajectory toward Krishna, whatever that is. And we should keep the goal in mind. And whether it's partial change of heart and partial mental acceptance, whatever that ratio might be, keep going and look to what the goal is. Keep following the process of hearing and chanting and becoming attached to that process and to those who are supplying that process very nicely. Try to create that situation for others, which is also a service to the object of glorification, Krishna. That Krishna, may you kindly accept this service, although I'm unqualified. And just like that, in the mood of being as a servant of the Lord and our disciplic succession who are representing Him, we continue. In Rupa Goswami's language, hope against hope, ashabanda. I don't have the qualification, but you're merciful. So kindly accept. And I'm shameless to even ask this, but I'm asking it because I'm shameless. Please accept this service. Please accept me in this capacity. Please give me your shelter. Please give me shelter as your service. Please keep me engaged in this activity. And if we're in that humble state of mind, Krishna's moved. Even though we're unqualified, Krishna's protection is there. That's the change of heart. Staying in that position with that spiritual objective. And to the point where, as we read yesterday evening, where the mind becomes attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, like a creeper attached to a tree. When that happens, that's the secure position. He uses that language. And then the flowers, and then the fruits. So I'm not there. But let me continue to... So it's abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamino. And I know the signs along the side of the road that say you're headed in the right direction, or look out, you took a wrong turn. And I'm guided by the scripture, that's the wrong turn signal, and this is the head in the right direction signal. And I'm keeping good associations so they can tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, you took the wrong turn. Look out for the ditch, you're too close. So I go, oh, thank you, etc. We're safe, provided that simplicity of and humility of heart through proper guidance is taking place. Then the acceptance from the mind platform will, the mind becomes then attached to the goal, the process, and eventually the object of the process, Krishna. Keep going. Something else? Okay. We'll end there. Thank you very much. Yila Prabhupada ki jai.